You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on July 1st, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about patriotism and the church. This Sunday is the 4th of July. Many churches around the country are going to be having some special patriotic elements incorporated into their worship services. Is that a good thing or not? What does the Bible have to say that would relate to that? That's what we're going to discuss in this episode today. For links to the story that we're going to be talking about and other related materials, you can check out the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/070121. Now for our story this week. Pastors favor patriotism for July 4th services. From Lifeway Research, and want to make a note here, this article was published back in 2016, but it was recently re-released by Lifeway Research. So they just recently put this out again. So while the current statistics that we're going to talk about here might be slightly different, they are more than likely pretty close to what they are, what the ones are included in the article. So some of the statistics may be a little bit higher or lower, but generally speaking, this will give you an idea of the state of churches in the world and how they fall on this issue. So from the article, it says 6 in 10 Protestant pastors, 61%, say it's important for July 4th worship services to incorporate patriotic elements to celebrate America, according to a survey by Nashville-based Lifeway Research. And while they plan to celebrate the birth of the nation, more than half, 53%, agree their congregation sometimes seems to love America more than God. It's a very telling statistic there. Now, it goes on. It says, most of the 1,000 Protestant pastors surveyed say their church will change its worship service to acknowledge America's Independence Day. Two-thirds, 66%, plan to include special music honoring America. And also, according to a chart that was included in the article and will also be included in the show notes for this episode, only 12%, now these are Protestant churches, so keep in mind that it's in that context, but only 12% of these churches plan to have no changes to their services this week. So that means 88% in some way are going to do something different, something special for the 4th of July. It could be patriotic music. It could be some other, you know, type of additions to the worship service. 88%. Now, again, this was from 2016. The numbers could be slightly higher or lower than that, but generally speaking, this is probably not too far off from the current numbers. So obviously, this is a widespread practice, but is it a scriptural practice? That's what we want to consider. So we're going to talk about a few points here in our episode today. First point is this. We need to limit our worship to what has been authorized in the Word of God. Jesus said we are to worship God in a certain way. In John 4:24, he said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That means we need to have the right attitude in our worship and engage in the proper actions in our worship. Well, how do we determine what those are? Do we just look at the churches around us or see what everyone else is doing? No, the proper actions, the things that God wants us to do, what he expects us to do in worship to him, are found in the Word of God. Everything we do, Colossians 3:17 tells us, in word or deed, must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if we want to determine whether or not it's appropriate to have some sort of patriotic service on the 4th of July or any other day and incorporate that into our worship, well, we need to see if there's authority for that in the Word of God. And you can search through the New Testament, and you will not find any authority for that type of practice to be done by the church in worship. Worship is to be done according to God's instruction in spirit and in truth. The second point that I want us to notice is that patriotism in and of itself is not necessarily wrong. Now, we've already talked about the fact that, you know, the worship, changing our worship to include these things, that's not authorized in the scriptures, but patriotism is not necessarily wrong. Patriotism is simply about loving one's country, and we can do that and still be a faithful Christian. But again, going back to the first point, patriotic celebrations have no place in our worship, which is to be directed to God. We are worshiping God. We're not worshiping the country that we live in. We're worshiping the flag that is representing the country. We worship God in our assemblies. And so patriotism in and of itself is not necessarily wrong, but that doesn't mean patriotic celebrations should just be brought into the worship service. The third point is that we do need to guard against nationalism. Now, when people talk about nationalism, they may have different things in mind on that point. And so we're not going to talk about every single way that that word could be used. But when we think about nationalism, I do want to differentiate it from patriotism, though they are sometimes related. But nationalism is dangerous, especially when it leads us to, number one, support a godless, tyrannical government or leader who is advancing the cause of the nation. Or it's dangerous when, number two, we rally around an immoral or unjust cause because it has been adopted by the nation as a whole. Or a third reason why it's dangerous is we might blindly follow the direction of the leaders because of a belief that they must be doing God's will, or that the nation as a whole can be called the people of God. People have that concept that, well, this nation, this is God's people. And you can read more about this in the show notes. There's an article down there about nationalism, included in the series that I did on social issues. You can read more about all that. It talks about those points and the problems, the dangers with nationalism. It also goes into a little bit about how other ways that that word might be used that may not be as negative, but there are dangers there in that. Many people have a misconception that the United States is God's chosen nation today. It's not. God's chosen so-called nation today, if you want to call it that, is not a country. But instead, to use the language of Scripture, 1 Peter 2:9, the chosen nation today is the church. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He was writing to Christians. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to the Roman Empire. He's not writing to some other country. He's certainly not writing to the United States. He's writing to Christians. As Christians, as part of his church, we make up this holy nation. We are God's chosen people in the church. This country or some other country is not God's chosen people in his holy nation. We don't need to confuse those two. Fourth point I want us to consider is that apostasy is inevitable when you merge the church and the state. This was what happened when the Roman Emperor Constantine, so-called converted to Christianity and made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. The so-called church continued to become more and more corrupt and depart further from the pattern that was found in the New Testament. This departure started back early on in the second century, not long after the time of the apostles. Paul warned about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that this apostasy was coming, and it continued, and it got worse and worse. And then you have a Roman emperor converts to Christianity, or at least some form of Christianity, adopts it as the state religion, and now you have the merger between the church and the state. Well, that just increased and multiplied the error that existed there in that church. So while we need to, we need to recognize that when you have the have these things combined together, it's not something that's a positive. It's something that will lead to problems. The church, when Constantine brought it in and made it the official religion of the Roman Empire, just got more corrupt and got further from the church that is found in the New Testament. So while it is true that righteousness exalts a nation, as Proverbs 14:34 says, and God ordains civil authorities to punish evildoers and protect the innocent, Romans 13:3-4 says that, the church and the state have two separate functions, and they must be kept separate. It's an article in the show notes about the separation of church and state that talks about that more. But when you have the church and the state, when they come together, apostasy is inevitable. So we need to be careful about that. The fifth and final point, and this kind of, we want to make sure we don't go too far in one direction, that we say, okay, we recognize that we're not to have these patriotic elements in the worship service. We recognize that the United States is not God's chosen nation today, and that we are to keep the church and the state separate. But the fifth point I want to notice is that in spite of all this, we can use days like this, Independence Day, to discuss spiritual truths. Oftentimes around New Year's Day, we hear lessons on priorities or resolutions. We might hear lessons focusing on our blessings and the need for gratitude during the Thanksgiving season. It's not necessary to discuss these topics at those times, but it can be helpful when people's minds are already thinking about these things, especially when you're trying to reach those who are not Christians and their minds are already thinking about these things. And now you can tie them in, those themes, to our lessons and show this is what the Bible says about these things and direct them to the scriptures, direct them to the Word of God. And so we can use those as opportunities to show them what the scriptures teach. Same thing can be done with the 4th of July, a day that celebrates freedom and independence. We don't have to have American flags waving all over the assembly in the worship service. You don't have to have patriotic songs or things like that. But what we can do is we can talk about the freedom from sin that is available through Christ. Or we can talk about the sense of independence that we have in Him, that no one can prevent us from serving the Lord and being faithful to Him. We could even give thanks for the freedom that we have to worship the Lord and teach His word without fear of persecution. We have that freedom in this country, and that is something to be thankful for. So that's another topic that we could talk about that could tie into this day, not because we're celebrating the 4th of July in the worship service, but people are considering these topics already. We can show them this is what the Bible says about these matters, about these things. And you can check out the show notes for links to articles about each of those topics, about freedom, independence, and the need for us to pray for authorities, this freedom that we have to worship and teach the Word of God and practice His will. We can do that without persecution. Check out those notes or those articles in the show notes for ideas for how you can bring up these topics in a lesson, whether it's on the 4th of July or any other day, how we can discuss those topics from the Scriptures. But again, that does not mean we celebrate an earthly nation during our worship to God and expect God is going to be pleased with that. We need to keep our worship to God free from those types of things. Now, there are several things we've talked about, several links in the show notes that we've mentioned and others that we haven't mentioned. You can check out the show notes. I invite you to do that and look at those articles, check those out, and read about more of those topics. But that's all for this week. I want to thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting and helpful, especially as we have the 4th of July holiday coming up. I think it's perfectly good and appropriate to celebrate that holiday, to be appreciative of the freedoms that we have here in this country. But that doesn't mean we change the worship of the church and seek to honor God while also celebrating the nation that we live in during the worship service. That's not what we need to do. For links to the news story that we cited, as well as the other links we've talked about, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/070121. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. If you find a news story that you think might make for a good discussion here, you can email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com, and I'd be happy to take a look at that. But that's all for today. Thank you again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.